Tonight is Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Sorry. I knew there was a 2 in it. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." And I'd like to ask you tonight to consider your harvest field, because each one in our lives will have a different harvest field. Sometimes it might overlap and so on. But it's, you know, that the only reason we're still here on earth is because of the people that God has predestined us to encounter still in this life, us now being saved, because he has appointed us to be his hands and feet. He's commissioned us. He wants us to love him, but to love people as well. And so God has got many reasons for that, and there's many outworkings of that. It's at least equally as beneficial for us to reach out as what it is for the recipient of the message that we bring. It changes you. When you go on a mission trip, without fail, everyone that I've gone on a mission trip with and speaking to the other mission teams and so on, when you come back, you're not the same person. And you have, in a space of maybe it's a 2 week outreach or something, in the space of 2 weeks, you've grown in your faith in the Lord, which you would maybe take normally 3 to 4 years to grow if you didn't go on an outreach. It truly is a huge blessing to you. And but we don't do it for that reason, but that is an amazing benefit of going for the Lord. Because, you know, when we go intentionally and we are consecrated and we are sent out of a church under the church's covering, and the church is partnering in prayer, we are very aware that we are just vessels of God, and God honors that commitment. He honors the sending, and we see Jesus even saying in Scripture, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town. His own town, he is without honor. So when you go, there's something about going across the waters or going across borders, where the people are so much more receptive to the message. And so, as the one going and the one having been sent, you see and experience the Lord working through you in ways that you don't normally if you are ministering here in your own town. And that is amazing for your own faith. But besides that, the people on the receiving end, God works through you. I mean, amazing. I can't go through all the testimonies of the outreaches that I've been on, healings and, you know, honestly, miracles that has happened, people being healed from on their deathbed from cancer, and people's sight being recovered, and, you know, you name it, the gospel being received and people coming to salvation, the greatest miracle, new life. And you can see when someone encounters Jesus Christ, and that is the privilege that we have as believers. And it's a responsibility. Jesus said to all of us, the Great Commission is applicable. Go and make disciples of all the nations. And sometimes we get too stuck on, you know, a lot of people will now try and criticize you by saying, no, but you got to reach out locally. Yes, I agree with that. But not just locally. Okay, we have to. There's 2 billion unreached people. 70% of Asia that hasn't heard the name Jesus Christ. Who's going to tell them? You know, God could have told them a long time ago, all of them sovereignly, but He chooses to work through His church. And God is patient. He's waiting for us. Jesus is waiting to come back for a spotless bride. And He's waiting for the gospel. One of the last prophecies that needs to be fulfilled is the gospel has to get preached to every tribe and tongue. You know, and there's a lot of tribes, as we saw, 6,000 tribes that haven't heard of Jesus. A lot of them are in Asia and in the mountainous areas around there. And it's difficult. The Bible isn't available in all of those languages. And a lot of missionaries have sacrificed their lives and offered up the rest of their lives to minister to those people, to live amongst them, because it's also not that easily accepted. Where, you know, Asia is a seriously spiritual place, like Africa as well. We minister up in Africa as well, but the Buddhist religion and culture, Hinduism, is so ingrained. Those religions are so ingrained in the everyday life of those people. This is what they do. To convert to Christianity is a huge cost for them. And what's more is most of the time they get shunned and rejected by their own families and even murdered for choosing Christ above what the way that their family is going. So it is a tremendous cost. Despite that, the church is growing most rapidly in Asia, but it's still got a long way to go where a lot of people haven't heard of Jesus yet. But persecution is a real thing. And that's why we also don't, you know, ask lightly for you to pray for us. This is a combined effort. We might be few that are going, but the ones that are sending have just as much role to play in the outreach. So maybe you couldn't go along this time, but we ask you to pray for us. And we'll pray for you next time. Okay. But go we must. Jesus has commanded us. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a commandment. And we can see the laborers are few. The workers are few. We need to get out there. But yes, we start at home and to the ends of the earth and everywhere in between. Jesus also said in Acts 1 verse 8, I will make you, you will be my witnesses, he says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay. And he said, we will receive power, dunamis, dynamite power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. We have received the Holy Spirit to be able to proclaim the wondrous works of God, to be able to share boldly that which Christ has done in us and what we know of Jesus. So I want to encourage you tonight that you have the answer and that the Lord has, He has anointed you and appointed you, commissioned you to be able to go for Him. But where's your harvest field right now? Very often, our greatest harvest field, because maybe our families are mostly saved, because that's where you would kind of start, you know, and that's a natural inclination. And God's heart is for the whole family. And we see that in Acts as well with Paul and Silas and the jailer. When Paul says to him, but, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved, you and your household. And so, yes, we minister to our families, but also the workplace. You know, there's a phenomenon in the U.S., that they've coined the SSD. Doesn't sound good, eh? Sounds like a sexually transmitted something or other. You don't want that. Okay, and I'm telling you, you don't want SSD. What it stands for is the sacred secular divide. Only 2% of believers in the US have shared their faith in the workplace. That is a scary statistic because for the most of us, that is our mission field. You know, we've said it before, you can put the sign up on the door there, now entering the mission field as you go out of here, as you go into your Monday at work. Are all your colleagues saved? Maybe it's time to move on to another job. Your work is done, all right? We don't just work for a paycheck. Yes, that's part of it, but the Lord provides, He guarantees us food and clothing. Okay, but we've become accustomed to more comfort, but nevertheless, more than that, for God, your workplace is about the people there. Very often, you'll be in the minority as believers, or you might be the only believer in your workplace. And there's amazing testimonies, you know, amongst this congregation of prayer groups and discipleship groups at the workplace and these kind of things. Pietri shared this morning of having shared his testimony with a colleague and then realizing, you know, that she's also a believer and they got chatting and, you know, maybe there's another believer in your workplace and you don't even know about it. And the two of you can start praying for the other colleagues. One can send 1,000, two send 10,000 to flight. Your prayers of agreement are so powerful. Is God in your workplace? Or do you also suffer from SSD? It's not a lack of thing to have. Okay. And America, I mean, we look up to America, the Bible Belt and TBN and all of these things. You know, ooh, it's the powerhouse of Christianity in the world. But no, that is a paralyzed, a crippled faith if only 2% of them are sharing with unbelievers around them. You know, yes, a believer's responsibility is to honor his authority in the workplace. You better work your working hours. You better honor your boss at work. except if he asks you to sin, you know, to crib on the stock sheets or something like that, then you draw a line, you know. But your lunchtime is your time. Your after hours chatting with your colleagues, that's your time. He cannot command you not to speak of your Lord and Savior again. Then you pray for him, you bless him, and you just make sure you get the gospel out there, because we put God's word above man's word. And we've been commanded to share the gospel. So no man may silence us. But you do your work. You don't share the gospel during your working hours all day and not do your work. You know, then you're not honoring the authority in the workplace. Okay. But do not be fearful, especially in South Africa. We have a liberty to share still in this country. Let's use that. If you're in Pakistan, you'd have to be as sly as a serpent to share the gospel there. But you'd still make a plan. But in South Africa, gooi milies. That means throw corn on the cob. Okay. Preach the gospel. Don't be scared. All right. So, the harvest is plentiful. I want to ask you tonight, what is holding you back? What is holding you back from sharing? You know, we've had many sermons about this in the past because I'm quite passionate about this. And I, you know, the work of the fivefold ministry, and that's one of the offices that I'm standing, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Okay. Implied in that is I spend most of my time around saints, you know, and I have quite a passion to evangelize and so on. And so I'm really excited about the next 2 weeks. But I do try and get out there now and then, and most interaction will be in the parking lots with people or at the garages, maybe the video shop. And so the Lord has used me in those areas. And the other day, Brighton's gone home, we sat waiting for some photos to be printed of his baptism and him and Chan's baptism and so on. And, you know, this was about a week and a half ago. And we sat there on a bench inside Bayside Mall, just outside the photo shop. And I'm telling you, you might think those benches are there so that men can grow old in dignity. But no, I'm telling you, those benches have been planted by the Lord for evangelism. You know, it's not long, especially if you're open to that. You know, sometimes we forget. We're always in a hurry. I mean, my schedule is tight, and I'm always rushing from one appointment to the next. But I was focused, because the previous week we had shared in Bible school about practical evangelism. And so I challenge everyone, let's all share our testimony before next Tuesday's Bible school. And so this was now Saturday, and we were heading off to Stellenbosch for our last week of ministry training there. And so Brighton and I are sitting now on the bench, and some chap comes to sit next to me, but he's like back is turned to me. And so I seize the day and I tap him on the shoulder, you know, and at first, you know, people are a bit afraid of interaction, it seems like, you know, we've all built up these walls, and even if we feel a tap, we don't register it, you know. So later I'm like this, you know, and sorry, can I share a story with you? And he's like, yeah, that'll be great. And so I share my testimony just in a few minutes. And he was so blessed by that, you know. And I want to encourage you, each of us have a story. And no one can deny it. That's the best thing about it. You know, and you know, some parts of my story is quite wacky and weird and wonderful. And I'm sure for you, you have similar tales to tell. And just share. Get out there and share. And I always seek to find, and I trust the Lord for that kind of common platform when I'm sharing with someone. Just like a conversation starter even. So before I shared with him, I asked him, obviously, what's your name? You know, you need to kind of break the ice. You need to introduce yourself and you need to be friendly. It's not we don't share because of, out of compulsion, but we share out of gratitude to the Lord, what he's done, and because we want to share his goodness with people. So it's really a joy to share. And so I asked him, now, what's your name? His name's Matthew. And I've come across that so many times. And a lot of guys also from, you know, up Africa have biblical names very often, even though they might not know the Lord that well. And you can immediately take him to the Bible. You know, I know someone by that name. And you know where I know him from. And, you know, and sometimes the people might guess the Bible or whatever. I think not... Most strangers don't just spark conversation. But you know, maybe they've heard it once before. But many people have never heard someone share their testimony or never heard the gospel. And it is such a powerful thing. And so, you know, we can share with these people. And it was so, I mean, this man, he almost wouldn't stop shaking my hands before he had to go off. And yeah, it's such a blessing to share. You know, and just a number, the Lord has given us so many opportunities. Just the other night, you know, just shared with someone here in the parking lot. And, you know, I always look for the name. That's great. At the petrol stations, the guys have their names on the badges. And, you know, just trust the Lord. Just pray for the guy. And, you know, and I trust the Lord for a word or something. And, you know, then you'll share with him. Or maybe his name again is something, there's a connection there. You know, I've got a cousin with that name or that with that name. And you just start talking. People are really actually, people are afraid of making the connection. But once you do make the connection, you realize that people are hungry for relationship. They're hungry for authenticity. They're hungry for people to be real with them. Because everyone, we go out there, we've got our daily and our weekly routines. You know, and we're creatures of habit. And we struggle to get out of those grooves and out of those habits. And that inhibits us from building relationship and building bridges with other people. So we need to shake ourselves up as a start. We need to pray in the morning, Lord, set me up with someone this day. Someone that I can share something with. A divine appointment. You know, I believe every appointment with someone can be a divine appointment. If you bring Jesus into it, it's divine. Okay. So I want to encourage you in that, but I want to ask you, you know, what's holding you back? We've spoken in the past about fears, a lack of confidence in the message, you know, various things. And the life of Paul is a great example, you know, of the answer to all of those questions that we have. You know, Paul was fully persuaded. He was prepared to pour out his life as a drink offering. He declared that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who would believe. The message we have is powerful. A lot of people out there in the chemist every day looking for pills. The only pill that needs the gospel. Yeah? What held Moses back? Let's see the next verse. Moses, the next slide there, he said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue." I think apparently Moses had a stutter or a stammer, and this really knocked him. You know, some of us are very self-conscious of our appearance, of, you know, our vocabulary, of our understanding maybe of the gospel. We might be intimidated that the person we're actually speaking to might know more than us. There, if someone comes at you with a religious spirit, you just share your testimony. They don't know your life, and they cannot deny it. It's what God has done in your life. And when we share testimony, what we're actually proclaiming, what a word means is, do it again, Lord. Do it for this man that I'm speaking to. Because the religious spirit in South Africa is rife. You know, and people think they're okay, but they're not really, because they don't have real relationship with God. They might go through all the motions, tick all the check boxes. That's not going to get you to heaven one day. Just as little as sleeping in a garage is going to turn you into a car. Sitting in a church is not going to make you a Christian. So Moses had, you know, we can all find probably 50 good excuses why we shouldn't share the gospel with someone tomorrow. You know, because it's the workload. It's this and that. My boss might not take too kindly to it. You know, what if someone finds out? I might risk, you know, not getting that promotion or whatever. There's a million reasons. What are the reasons? Moses had a very good reason. Yeah, Lord, you're asking me to lead a whole nation, like a million plus Israelites out of Egypt. I mean, I'm going to have to speak to them, never mind speaking to Pharaoh. And, you know, I've got a serious speech impediment. Not me, Lord, you heard wrong. No, God doesn't make mistakes. And you know that you're meant to be in this church. I know all of you guys. And you know what we as a church stand for. Making disciples, raising leaders, and planting churches. All the church planters of the 30 shofar churches that are currently in existence and many more on the way have come out of shofar. It's sons in the house. Shofar doesn't go through the classifieds looking for people who make themselves available as pastors or whatever. No, we raise up leaders in the house. This is the vision and the mandate that you are walking in. And I want you to start praying about whether, Lord, you know, what role do I play in the vision of this church? Do you want to raise me up as a church planter? Might very well be. Okay, I don't think it's a coincidence that you're sitting here. This is not the type of church. We don't preach a seeker-sensitive message. Otherwise, the church might have been more full. Okay? You guys are here because you know that what is getting ministered here is the truth, and you know it is applicable on your life. You know that God is calling you to something, and you might have already quite a clear understanding of that. But I want you to always be open and to pray about, Lord, you know, is there maybe a calling on my life to be a church planter? Doesn't mean you have to be a pastor or the most loving and caring person. You might fall somewhere else in the fivefold ministry. You know, we've got people of various giftings that are leading churches. And if it's someone that's not necessarily very pastoral, they'll surround themselves with pastoral people. But the fact of the matter is it's an apostolic movement that plants churches. We recognize this is the best way to reach the whole world with the gospel. Because Jesus didn't say make converts, he said make disciples. So we'll go and preach the message, but then we better not leave the people as they are, as spiritual babies, and come home. No, they must get referred to a church, which is why we've already identified the churches that we'll be working with in Thailand, for example, and that as shofar we go and we plant churches to make disciples and to continue the multiplication and the advancing of the kingdom. There is a lot of work to be done. Laborers are few. So Moses had this excuse. What is your excuse? Because there isn't really any valid excuse. God is not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. And it's not wrong to be settled, to have a house and a car and a job. That's fine. But are you willing to give it up if God says, I want to send you to Thailand as a missionary? I want to send you to PE as a missionary. You know, there's a lot of church planting strategic plants that Shofar is looking at. One of them is PE. Maybe it's one of you. Maybe you've, like, God's always given your heart for PE and you must really pray about that. Okay. PE is a friendly city. It's a windy city. It's a friendly city. Table View is windy, so you'll be fine. Let's see Jeremiah. He also had an excuse. Alas, Sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. That again. I am too young. I am too young. If I had a buck for every, that's a rand, for every time that someone remarked or insinuated that I'm too young to be in ministry and that kind of a thing, then I'd have, you know, quite a bit of pocket money. I remember going on our, you know, leading an outreach to Durban in December of 2006, and I'd just been appointed as student pastor at Tigerberg. I was due to start in the following month in January 2007, and we stayed over halfway at this amazing family, you know, serving the Lord full on. And you know, we were praying and worshiping the Lord that night with the family. And then afterwards, the father pulled me aside and he just said, no, he just really wants me to reconsider if I should go into ministry. You know, and the enemy, you know, I'm sure he had good intentions, but the enemy could just use that to plant a seed of doubt. You know, I mean, the Lord had already called me long time before that, and he had just appointed me. And now someone comes to try and sow a seed. Again, not the person, that's the enemy trying to bring doubt. You know, so maybe oftentimes, most often, it's ourselves that speak death and doubt over our destiny and, you know, whether, we are actually able to be used by God, whether we are adequate enough. You know, I've so many times felt inadequate. But the only thing that's kept me in ministry is the word from the Lord, that I know that this is what God said. So even if I'm doubting it in my mind, I won't ponder on that. I'll reject that doubt. And very often it's the enemy that plants a doubt in your mind. You know, sometimes it's our flesh. Sometimes it's Satan, because he can plant a thought in your head. Sometimes it's a person speaking a negative thing into your life. Whichever avenue or direction it comes from, you reject that according to what the Lord said. Okay, because the enemy, as a believer, he cannot wrestle you out of God's hand, but he'll try to silence you. He'll try to cripple you to prevent you from reaching other people with the gospel. Father God, he's a father. He wants a family. He has created everyone to be his child. But one third of the world's population doesn't even know who he is. His heart breaks for those people. He could sovereignly save all of them tonight. But he has chosen, he has delegated that responsibility to the church. And let me tell you that there are many churches that are missional, but I think there's quite a lot more that aren't. We're one of the missional churches. And so we are aware of the focus and the responsibility. We exist for our non-members. We are here for the empty seats tonight. Okay. We know that, hey, if I bring someone to church with me next week, then I've already done something significant. Maybe you feel at the moment that you cannot confidently share. But at least you can bring someone to small group, which is less confrontational. You can bring them to church. Okay, there's many opportunities. We've had a number of socials in the last month, opportunities to bring people, and there were a number of visitors. Great opportunities to bring people, and we need to organize more such things. I think every month we should have a lacquer social, but you as a small group can organize one as well. It doesn't have to be on a Wednesday night. It can be any night, Friday night, have a braai. A lot of the churches are saying, let's do braais. We're going to do braais. We're going to invite people. We're not going to share the gospel with them at that braai, because then they feel kind of set up sometimes. We're just going to braai. That's what South Africans do, okay? And then you invite them a second time and a third time. You build relationship. Oftentimes, you'll realize that we need a platform to speak into people's lives. Sometimes, you literally have 3 minutes, the guy on the bench next to you, and then you throw the corn. Okay, you minister to that person. Other times, it's someone, a colleague at work, a neighbor. And you know you're going to see this guy for the next year at least. And you can start building relationship. You can actually be very intentional in your relationship with that person. Okay, so I want to encourage you in that. This tonight is really just a reminder, because I'm saying things that you already know. But I know that we get distracted on a daily and a weekly basis from what the Lord is calling us to do in our workplaces and in our neighborhoods. And so it's just to kind of shine the light on that thing again. We are meant to be the light. Sometimes our light is hidden under the basket and then it's not fulfilling its purpose. We need to shine the light. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Okay, and the salt, if it's just all in the shaker, if we just come to church on a Sunday and to sell on a Wednesday, and that's the only time that God is part of our lives, or that we, you know, that he's featuring, then we are in the shaker. If we're not getting out there, we're meant to be salt. We're meant to be giving flavor to the world out there. Okay. So, what did the Lord answer Moses and Jeremiah? The next verse, he said, Moses, you know, God doesn't mince his words, because he knows what's best for us. You know, God doesn't entertain pity parties very often. I don't know if you've noticed that. Okay. And it's so refreshing when he just says, now stop crying, you know. You have everything pertaining to life and godliness. I've given you my very son. Okay, this thing that happened to you, or your fear of not sharing or whatever, do you not think I have the answer? You know, come, get up off the floor, dust off your clothes, and let's go. You know, there's a big party out waiting in heaven to happen when you share with that guy, when you do that thing. And so God says to Moses, now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. You see, God wants to be part of it. It's not like we're leaving God at Cape Town International and seeing him here again when we get back. No, he's already gone before us, but he goes with us. He will teach us what we are so dependent on God's leading, on the Holy Spirit's guidance in Thailand. As I said, we're going to trust God for just other tongues, for words of knowledge and all of these kind of things. I mean, there's language barriers and everything. That's the advantage with working in the church, with working with the church there, because there's interpreters. But we're going to trust God for the supernatural. And we know a lot of people's prayers are invested, so we've got a lot of faith for that. So I'm looking forward to sharing cool testimonies when you get back. But you've got to know whatever you're afraid of. And most often, you know, a lot of people, their number one fear is public speaking or maybe speaking to a stranger as well. So often for many people, a number one fear. And Christians aren't exempt from that because the enemy tries to capitalize on that. But we fail to recognize that we've been given the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, we've received the boldness to proclaim the gospel. It's a supernatural boldness. It's like, Lord, you know, I'm too scared to talk with this person, but I'm just going to start the conversation now, and Lord, you must just take over. And you know how faithful God is, that He just brings a peace over you. You start talking to the stranger, and where you're meant to be all nervous, you've just got such a peace, and the words just flow. I've experienced it so many times, and I want to encourage you in that. It just takes a step of faith. It just takes you keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. Like Jesus calling Peter out of the boat. Then you can walk on water. Because maybe for you it's like impossible. No, I'm not an evangelist. Guess what? Timothy was an evangelist. Paul said to him, do the work of an evangelist. Jesus said, Acts 1 verse 8, you will be my witness. We either a good witness or a bad witness. So let's start making the most of our opportunities. Let's start being grateful. Lord, thank you for placing me in a company where there are unbelievers, people that I have the opportunity and the privilege of being able to minister to. Thank you that I'm not just working with believers. That's a blessing as well. You'll soon realize believers aren't perfect. Okay? But it's such a privilege to be out there shining. You guys are really shining your light out there. You know, whether you like it or not, that's what you're doing. Sometimes you just need to add some words to it. All right, I want to encourage you. What did he say to Jeremiah, the next scripture? He said, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. And a lot of those 2 billion, as I said, are in persecuted countries in Asia, where Christians are being persecuted. And fortunately, you know, by God's grace, there are mission organizations that are working in those countries and having to do quite a lot of undercover work there. And those guys know they are not afraid. Amazing testimonies that come out of what they're doing, smuggling Bibles in and all sorts of things. Taking the risks, you know, but when Jesus is with you, It's not like gambling, okay? It's not that kind of a risk. No, because you have assurance and you have the protection of the Almighty. And God knows and God will prepare you for whatever comes your way. And so I just really want to encourage you. We don't have to be afraid. God is with you. Don't hold back. Share the faith. Keep fighting the good fight. You know, we see in the Bible there's resistance. We have an enemy. There is opposition. He will try and intimidate. You know, we've experienced it here. We know it's harvest time for us as a church, and we need to capitalize on it. The Lord said so, and we've had so much confirmation. So I want to encourage you. There's a supernatural. You know, there's a supernatural opportunity and endowment from God in this time to invite people to church as an example, to minister, to share with people, to invite them to small group. There's a supernatural window of opportunity now because God said it's harvest time clearly, and He's confirmed it to us. So maybe in the past, where you met with a lot of resistance and your efforts might have seemed unfruitful, although I know you were sowing good seed, now I defy you, do it again, and you will see the fruit. You'll see the fruit because the Lord has ordained. Like when He asked the fishermen to cast their nets on the other side of the boat, they'd been fishing all sides, all through the night, all over the place. But when Jesus says, now cast your net, guess what? The net can't even hold all the fish. So many fish. And the Lord has told us as a church, He said, it's harvest time. He's sending us out as laborers. Where's the harvest field? It's all around us. This area, if you haven't noticed, there's a lot of ungodly, unsaved people that need Jesus. Okay. And I promise you, there's a supernatural endowment from God in this time. And so we need to capitalize on it. We need to go out there. God is doing amazing things through Shofar at the moment because it's like this all over. We've claimed Table View in the last few weeks, praying at the gates and the high places. The enemy has tried to intimidate us, tried to physically attack and bring dreams of, you know, just the hectic things and whatever that we've had to come against in the spirit. But we will not back down. We will continue. And we can see that the enemy is rattled. And I want to encourage you again, go for it. You know, God has showed Pastor Fred and Lucille also around, you know, this issue in this time. And, you know, hence the prayer at the high places and the gates. And God has done amazing things in Shofar Piketberg, which started in January this year. Their congregation doubled 2 weeks ago in one Sunday. And the people came back. And it's just growing. And that's, God can do this. And I'm really encouraged. I went and visited them this week, and I'm really encouraged by that. I'm encouraged by those testimonies. And as they testify, I'm like, yes, do it again, Lord. Do it in Table View. And I know each town and situation is different and unique. And God is building His church here. And the kingdom is coming in our lives. I'm just encouraging us, let's just continue sharing and believing that God is going to add to His church daily those who are being saved, as He did in the book of Acts. It's time. There's an urgency. The harvest needs to come in. Jesus wants to come back. There's people that are dying every day without having heard the name of Jesus Christ. And not all roads lead to heaven. So, I would just like us to pray, just to close in prayer, and then I'm going to ask you guys to pray with each other. And if you feel there's a clear and present hindrance and an obstacle or some distraction in your life that is maybe preventing you from sharing the gospel, from testifying, from praying for people, from having faith that people can get saved. Sometimes we look at people and think, gee, I don't know if that person's going to get saved, you know. No, the Lord can save the guys at the bottom of the deepest pit. And He does. Sometimes those guys become pastors because they're so grateful for where the Lord has saved them from. Okay? Let us not become complacent. Let us not get into the holy huddle and the godly bubble and all of these type of bubbles and huddles. Okay? Let us make ourselves available to the Lord. Let us make ourselves available. And I know I'm preaching a little bit to the choir tonight, but you guys are the small group facilitators, you the zone coaches, and we need to convey to the whole church, it's harvest time, what are we going to do about it? Let us combine forces and get out there, let us organize a braai, okay? A chop sauna de dop, ne? And then we invite the people. They can bring their own dorp. We love them as they are. We don't say, hey, I don't want that smoking here or that whatever. No, I don't want to say suck it up, but I want to say Endure it for the sake of Jesus. Endure it, you know. You want to talk to the guy, so don't chase him away because he's still got a habit. Once he gets saved, the Lord will deal with his habit. Okay. You got to love that guy. If you're not able to spend time with him because you keep chasing him away, you're not loving him. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for the amazing truth, the amazing answer, Lord God, that you have given us, Lord. The amazing story that we have to tell. The gospel. This good news. As we even saw on the slide that Henry Mann said, it is only good news if it reaches them in time. And so, Lord, I pray that you will just come and stir our hearts. Come and infuse us with the urgency, Lord, to reach out to the lost that are around us every day. Lord, that you'll convict us not to turn a blind eye. Lord, that even if we have nothing to give the person physically, we can share what you have done in our life. We can share what you did for them on the cross. And Lord, that is the greatest message of love. And love is the greatest need that everyone has. So Lord, come and renew our confidence in the message. We declare that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who would believe. It's not up to us to make them believe, but it is up to us to be your witness, just to share. Lord, help us to make time to share. Help us to trust you for those appointments. Help us to stand still for a while, because it might just make the eternal difference for that one person. And they can also go on and share with other people. Lord, we want to see a multiplication effect in the church like never before. Because we know, Lord, you want to come back, Lord. But the work hasn't been completed yet. The gospel hasn't been preached to the ends of the earth yet. Every tribe and every tongue has not heard your name yet, Lord Jesus. And we know that there's no other way for them. And you have asked us to go. And so, Lord, I pray also just that this church will really become the epitome of a missional church, that we'd all be available to go for you wherever you send us, that we would be open in prayer to what you are saying, that we would listen to you, and that we would be prepared to leave behind our comforts and maybe even certain relationships in terms of a face-to-face relationship, for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the gospel. And Lord, yeah, we feel challenged by this. But Father, we ask you, Lord, come and bring our hearts in line with yours. Let us embrace the Great Commission. Let us not fight against it. The blessing, the promises rest in obedience. And Lord, I know, I've experienced it. I know many of you have experienced it, Lord, that when we obey you, no matter how much the cost, we never regret it. Better is one day in your courts, one day in the center of your will, than 1,000 elsewhere. So I ask you, Lord, bless this church. Bless everyone sitting here. Bless them, Lord God, in just adopting that missional focus. Just once more making themselves available for you to use. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'd like you to pray for one another now. Maybe if you can just pray in twos and just... Yeah, if there's something that you can put your finger on, if the Holy Spirit has maybe highlighted something to you, that you can just bring that hindrance, because that's the enemy that's trying to bring fear or doubt or hinder us from what God wants for us. just bring that in prayer before the Lord and get the person just to pray also for you in that area. And just trust the Lord for healing and a word in that area. Encourage one another and just pray a blessing on one another in this. You are good witnesses. You are good salt. You have your flavor. You are like a 250-watt light bulb that cannot be hidden. Okay, you are awesome. All right, let's pray for one another.